Well, it happened again. I have notes for another sermon, but I'd like you to turn over to John chapter 10. I want to talk to you about the Lord today. It's imperative that we remember that the Lord is our shepherd. People in the world, they follow their dreams, they follow their ambitions, they follow their hopes, their dreams. Maybe a person is reduced to following their own appetites. That's the saddest place for a human to be, you know, just to follow the dictates of their body. Because we know that our bodies are just a framework, a shell for our spirit. We know that we are spirits in a material world, I think Sting once sang. We know that any ambition that we have, having its source within us, is not really an ambition to follow in life, because innately somehow I believe that we sense that we are sheep and we need a shepherd. We know that we're sheep because we live among sheep. We see what sheep do. We sometimes catch ourselves doing the things that we laugh at or mock others doing. So we know, well, if I pursue my own desires in life, if I pursue my own appetites, if I pursue my own dreams or, you know, hopes that I attempt to attain, you know, some people, they've attained their dreams and they find themselves empty, and you find them in the rehab facility or the morgue. So you've seen the warning signs. You know that pursuing the appetites of the flesh is not the way to life. And then you hear of Jesus, who spoke about life being in him. And Jesus explains kind of what has always been the hope for every person, I think, is that we would have a shepherd, a guide. It's very endearing in that movie, Toys, how Andy sort of presides over the toys as the desired owner, the one who loves them. That's what they're hoping in. And they're playing out sort of a dream of human beings, or it's an echo that's seen in art of that thing of, do I have a belonging? Do I have a purpose? Was I created? And if I was created and I have the ability to think and know and reason and love and hurt, does the one who authored my being also have the ability to think and know and love and feel and hurt? I think the answer is yes, clearly. So we know that there is a God. We know that there is a desire within us for the best, but we also know that in and of ourselves, our dreams and our desires cannot possibly be the best, because we're fallen people. And we live among fallen people. We are sheep. We know this. This is why we have folk heroes in our community, our culture. This is why there are those who identify with certain voices, whether they're comedians or newscasters or politicians or any kind of secular, you know, guru out there that's tweeting their thoughts or stirring up trouble because, you know, the big power elites are having Twitter wars. We see Bezos getting attacked by Elon Musk, and Elon Musk is doing stuff with Bitcoin. And it's like you're just watching, you know, the shadow of these things around, thinking, I know there's something beyond. I know there's more. And that's why you're here, because you know that God has a bigger purpose than the shadows cast by this world. You know that the things you're told to believe by those who hold the authority to tell you what is to be believed and not believed are now clearly lying to you. You can see that society has inverted itself, not by itself, but by some perverted spirit and agenda that has sought to erase human life, and ultimately it is a death cult that we see in such stark contrast to what we find in John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. You see, the Antichrist in the Bible is called the worthless shepherd or the false shepherd. My brother loves God here. Anybody else want to say amen?
Amen.
I love God too. May the Lord give us such a voice in the world to say that we have a higher purpose. We are not petri dishes. We are not consumers. We will not be the foie gras goose that is force-fed by a pipe and by some digital entity that wants you to be purely a consumer. You see the world, it's going in this weird direction. You see that you're being numbered and labeled. But you know innately that you are an individual and that God made you special and that you and you alone can have the relationship with God that you can. And that together with others who have that same relationship with God, we form a people that are separate from this world. And by goodness, we need a shepherd because this world is full of wolves. It's full of false shepherds. It's full of butchers. It's full of thorns and snares and cliffs and rocks and mud bogs and dangers. Through many toils and snares I have already come. His grace has brought me thus far and will lead me on. Well, Jesus tells us that he is that good shepherd. And I want to read his words with you this morning in John 10. He says to us in verse 1, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." In those days, they would have large communal pens, and different shepherds from different flocks would bring their sheep to the larger communal pen. And the shepherd would go into that larger pen in the morning, and he would bring them back at night, and they would be safeguarded as a flock of flocks, you might say. And this would have a high wall on it because it was protecting the sheep from predators. In the morning, the shepherd would come in and he would know his sheep. Maybe he had 12, maybe he had 25, maybe he had 30. Depends on the size of the communal pen. And Jesus, this is what they have in their mind. They've seen this. They've been raised around this. And then Jesus says that, you know, you've got to go in the front gate to be considered a legitimate shepherd. If you see some guy, you know, climbing up into somebody's window at 2 a.m, I don't know what you're doing up at 2 a.m, but if you happen to see somebody climbing into a window wearing black sweats and one of those weird black masks like Zorro had, you know they're a robber, right? Jesus is telling us that you can recognize robbers by their criminal behavior. If they're deceptive and malicious, if they work under the cloak of darkness, and if they control information and they try to be the curators of our thinking with technology, we're in danger of being robbed of what God's given us, you see. The people of Israel had many leaders that would come in and claim to be their Messiah, or just through their great charisma, people started, you know, making heroes out of them. Sadly and inevitably, they all kind of crashed and burned because the Roman Empire was the Roman Empire. And even if there were 300 or 400 guys out in the wilderness that were itching for a fight, it didn't matter because they had a garrison and they'd go out and just snuff it out. And so Jesus was speaking to the people in a couple of terms, first spiritually, but also politically and spiritually. You know, because the people would later suffer under the hands of the Romans, and Jesus would give them warning. You remember in Matthew 24, where he said, "When you see the armies around Jerusalem, get out." There was a siege later on that happened in the lifetime of those who were around Jesus. You know, it was, you know, 30 years later. That The Romans sacked the city and they destroyed Jerusalem. It was a horrible, horrible thing. But those who were warned because they had listened to the voice of the shepherd, you see. So Jesus starts off this parable of sorts to these Pharisees to show them that he is both qualified to be the Messiah and that he is who we're looking for. We have found the one. And Jesus Christ is the shepherd of our souls. He will lead us back to the Father to restore that aching need that every human being has in your heart, in mine. And you see a person of a different culture that speaks a different language, even if they have a different religion, they still have that same hunger in their heart to know their Creator. Well, Jesus Christ comes in chapter 10 of John, he essentially declares, I am that Savior. But the first thing he does to us, as he often does when he spoke to the disciples, as, for example, on the Mount of Olives, when he spoke to them about the tribulation period and all of those things, when the disciples asked him about the timing, the first thing he said is, watch out, you're going to have false teachers and false leaders. So it's very important for us to be in tune with what the shepherd Jesus Christ is saying, because there are many voices in your life that are false leaders. There are many icons that you subscribe to or perhaps generally agree with, or I like the way that this lady says it, or I like the way this guy says it, and you're a follower. You follow others. You might be a leader too. You might have some people that follow you. But we got to remember that Jesus is the true and only shepherd. Others want to climb in through different ways in your life. So Jesus gives us general warning about the messages that come into our life, especially, you know, as these words of warning parallel that of when he speaks about the last days, the times that we're living in. Even now, the Lord would tell us to beware of false shepherds. And by that, he would mean just to be cautious about anything that you hear. You know, rise above the narrative, both the world's and the other world's. You know, rise up to the kingdom of heaven, you know, because the kingdom of God is not limited to a space or a place. For many years, we just thought of the United States of America as kind of like the kingdom of God, especially if you're older and you can talk like John Wayne, like I just kind of sounded to myself. Anybody recognize that little John Wayne thing that I did on accident? If you're old enough to remember John Wayne, if you watch a movie now with John Wayne, you'd say, holy cow, the world has changed. Our nation has turned away from its shepherd, you see. We wanted to go our own way. Isaiah 53, he speaks for us. And he says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Everybody in this arena here this morning is a sheep that has once been astray. You might be here and you might still be astray. Because you know you got to get some things right with the Lord Jesus. But that's okay. Everybody else has. You're in the right place. You want to get right with your Maker? Well, the way to do that is to listen to the voice of the shepherd. If you can hear the voice of the Lord, you're in good shape. If you can hear the voice of the Lord, but you're choosing not to listen, you're in a dangerous spot. If you can't hear the voice of the Lord, then learn to listen. It's hard for us to listen right now because there's so many voices, so many shepherds shouting at us, so many sources of information. We sit long before the screen and short before the book. We must be on guard. We are in days of war. Be modest with your voices. Curtail your thoughts. Guard your heart. Preserve the peace that God gives you. See, that's the way that we hear the shepherd, is we listen. And we got to be careful that our society doesn't teach us how to not listen. You know what I'm talking about? It's not that we're not listening. It's just we can't hear anything else. Are we not bombarded with just too much stuff? And now it's Christmas time. Oh, my goodness. Are we supposed to all get busy again? What would it be like to go Christmas shopping right now? Hey, you know what? Here's an idea. If you haven't gotten anything, I just had this idea the other day. I don't know if it'll be helpful for you, but consider not buying a present. Consider making something for your loved one. Consider like just putting some time and thought into something that you handcraft, and the value is in it because you made it. It's from you. And it's not sanitized by commerce, you know? Like, I have this stuff. It's not even money anymore. It's like digits in a computer, right? We don't even have money. I mean, everybody's moving away from cash, and I'm fine with that. Cash is filthy. But, you know, it's just digitizing our existence as consumers. You know, think about maybe just celebrating with love instead of, you know, what a sacrifice you made. You know, how much did you love? That's an idea. You know, you don't have to go out and don the mask and do all that. Might be a good idea. Tell me if you think it is. I don't know. I haven't bought anything for anybody yet. I haven't even thought about Christmas, and we're almost 1 week into December. Never thought we'd make it this far. It's like, well, the Lord leads us. So Jesus, they know that the shepherd enters in, and there would be at the gate of that general entrance a guard that would just look after the gate. And sometimes the guard would be basically, he would just lay down and his body would be the gate, and the sheep wouldn't go over, you know, the body. So later when Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep, they understood the metaphor. So in verse 3, Jesus says to him, the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, this guard at the front, and the sheep hear his voice. They come separated from the other flocks. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. You see, the Lord knows every one of you as an individual. He knows your name. He speaks to you. He leads them out. The Lord has the authority to lead you out. He's the shepherd. He has the authority to bring you in. When God spoke to Jacob about moving into Egypt, because after many years, the son that he thought was dead, Joseph, had provided bread for the family during a period of a seven-year famine. It's a picture of the tribulation period that the Bible speaks about. And God spoke to Jacob and said, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt, because you will go down there, but I will bring you up again. So the voice of the shepherd, even in the Old Testament, God calling his people and leading them wherever he led them. And at that time, the people of God was essentially a nation. He wanted to preserve the people with an ethnicity that was bound strongly by his ethic and his word and his law. He wanted to reflect his wisdom and character in the rule of a nation, a people that listened to his word. In the United States of America, many years ago, we framed our Constitution and our Declaration. Much of those documents and that era was drafted almost directly out of reference to what the Bible said godly leadership and godly rulers should be. The separation of powers. You know, in Isaiah, the Bible says that God is our king, our lawgiver, and our just. And so our founding fathers said, well, that's three different roles. The king is the executive, the lawgiver is the legislative, and the judge is the justice. So we should have three branches of government. And so we have all of these things, these blessings from God just by way of our worldview. And we're about to lose those things in our country to this reversal of everything that God has created. The false shepherd wants to invert and pervert. Or just take what God has made for good and just unleash it so it's just a flood of the celebration of the lust rather than, you know, the purpose and the beauty behind it. The Bible teaches us that if we've been created in the image of God, we are, in essence, sacred beings. We're unique. I mean, our government is based upon that. Australia's government is not based upon that. Australia's government has a different set of rules, and they're cinching up that power over the people. You see it, right? You know, we all see this. We see that there is tyranny and darkness and this global brand of communism sprouting up in Austria, where you can't leave your house if you're unvaxxed. In Latvia, you can't buy gas or groceries. They've shut groceries down. You see this, okay, that's just tyranny. That's not even, they're not even talking COVID. This is way worse than COVID. People aren't recognizing that they're disconnected. They don't care anymore. They're launching. They're doing their thing. How many times have I thought, oh, goodness, finally this thing seems to be losing steam because it's so stupid. But they just launched the next thing. They skipped over C, the Greek letter in the alphabet, so as not to probably offend the president of China, Xi Jinping. And they just went to Omicron. All right, here we go. This is what we said for a year. This is what they're going to do. We've said this. Boosters, 3 months. We said this. You know, and you see this false shepherd not leading gently, sympathetically, compassionately. It is all for our health, isn't it? Says the officer with his boot upon your neck. Mask up, get in the van, you're going to camp. It's happening in Australia, and the fact that no nation on planet Earth is saying anything about it shows you that it is coordinated and it's evil. Therefore, as believers in this age, we have to know the voice of our shepherd, because the voice of the false shepherd is very loud and many people have followed it completely. Some are just following orders. And that's what they said, isn't it? We were just following orders. They were listening to the wrong shepherd. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Your ear needs to be tuned to Jesus, my friends. You need to be listening to the Word of God. You need to put the Word of God like a filter or a lens where when you hear something, you say, let me check with the Lord on that. There's safety there. Green pastures there. You follow the shepherd, the good shepherd. I think of what David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. Green pastures, meadows. See that little sheep, you know, sitting there, the green all up in his wool, you know, sniffing the wind. There's the shepherd right there. He's got a staff. He's got a rod. He's got his eyes peeled on the horizon. He knows the threats. He knows what's going on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's where we are right now. A shadow of death has cast itself over our land, over our people. It is a narrative of eugenics and death. Its desire is to kill people. Am I going out on a limb by saying this? See, the shepherd recognizes a wolf on the horizon. I don't know. He's just been looking for so many years. He's seen them. I've seen some wolves in my life. I was alive when Jonestown happened. Jim Jones, I mean. I'm old enough to know a little bit of history. I don't know if I learned a whole lot in high school here in Hawaii. Public school, man, I don't know. You learn what you can afterwards, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I just played games in high school. I don't know. I played sports. I was the worst guy. If you know somebody from high school that knows me, just tell them I'm sorry. Just tell them I'm sorry. So the shepherd will go in, he'll call his sheep out, they'll go out, and it says in verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. How do they know his voice? Well, they know his voice because they've been around him. They know what he sounds like. They know his words that he likes to use. It says in verse 5, they will by no means follow a stranger, but they'll flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. You know, you couldn't be like a sheep napper by your voice in those days, like a ventriloquist sheep napper. Hey, sheep, come on over here, you know. I'll be your new shepherd. Could you imagine? You know, if you're going to steal sheep, you'd have to do it manually. You'd have to just take them. See, because sheep, they don't go with what they don't recognize. You go with what you recognize. That's the danger, is you might become so familiar with the framework of what you recognize, what voices speak into your life, that it'll crowd out what the Lord Jesus wants to speak in your life. So you have to be listening all the time. That's what we do as Christians. Our regular life is like a process of listening. Like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What? I don't know. Okay, well, I read these scriptures, Lord, and I'm praying on this. And, you know, much of this will be such a blessing for your marriage, by the way. You know, when you can openly talk with your spouse and share your concerns or your feelings about where God is leading you, you'll find a great partnership, you know, in that and a bond. And if you don't have a spouse, then you might have a friend or a brother or a sister in the Lord that you can entrust with your concerns and cares, and thus you walk together as sheep. You know, we flock together. And it says of Jesus in Isaiah that he will lead his sheep or his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs in his arms and he will carry them, and he will gently lead those who are with young. And I think of how the Lord wants to gently lead you, and especially you with young children. You look for green pastures, don't you? You look for a sense of security. I don't like to use the word safety anymore. Through the guise of being safe, our world has been enslaved. So I don't like to say, stay safe. I like to say, do something dangerous for a change. Live by faith. But we seek security for our families. And for lack of a better word, we want our loved ones to be safe, don't we? Well, we want them to be saved. If we want them to have an eternal hope in heaven, well, we want them to live out what God has purposed for them. You know, I just turned 50 like a week ago, and I'm Hawaii 5-0 now. That's what I'm calling myself. I got a new nickname. I just made it up. I was surfing out in Makapu yesterday, and I felt 50. I still feel 50. Oh, my leash stretched out like 25 feet. You know, I got this giant stand-up board. Moses wrote in Psalm chapter 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling in all generations. Moses was in his hundreds when he wrote that, and he had seen God guide generation to generation. And we have generations here that God wants to keep knitted together. Remember, before the Lord comes, he says in Malachi, I will send Elijah, my messenger, before your face, and he will restore the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. You know, the Lord wants to heal generational battles. I mean, it's not enough that you got beefs on your own level with your own people, but you might have them with the generation below you and your parents above you. People can have beefs in every direction in their life. They're punching up and they're punching down. And they're trying to figure out how to have peace in their life. And oh, God, have mercy on your family if you're being separated and kicked out at this time of year. You know, you can't celebrate with us, some are saying. Unless you get this shot. I think, what narrative would separate families based on something like that? Well, it's not the good shepherd. That's a dark shepherd. If your shepherd is telling you to separate from your loved ones, then you should stop listening to it. That's all I should say about that. You know? And you need to tell your friends that they shouldn't listen to it either, because it's not pono. It's not righteous. You can see it. It's obvious. It's plain as day to you. You know what I'm talking about. And even if we don't talk science, let me just speak to you, human being to human being. Look at what it's doing. People are going to prison in places where they don't have the gracious form of government that God's given us here. God's been so gracious to our nation. Oh, but now is the time to take up those gifts of heritage and to become engaged in the process that God's given us, as ugly as it might be. Because when Jesus Christ comes again, we want to be found doing. We want to be found charging. We want to be found fighting. We want to be found building. We want to be found loving, and we want to be found going full speed in whatever it is that glorifies him at that moment in our life. And whatever you're doing in your life, just let it be all for the glory of God, because the 2-minute warning has sounded and the game is almost over and it's time to be ready. Because the good shepherd is speaking, and the good shepherd is coming, and his rod is with him. He's going to judge these people. Jesus says to them, they won't follow a stranger. Be careful to the voices. And in verse 6, it says, Jesus used this illustration, but they didn't understand the things which he spoke to them. And then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And there's that picture we have. You know, the sheep, you know, he was the door. Many religious leaders have said, this is the way, this is the path. Jesus will come and say, I am the way. I am the door. I am the entry. It is through me. You know, any shepherd or voice that tells you that you can be restored to God through a human system, whatever religion it might be, something that's concocted by human beings or to some degree an emanation of our imagination about things, if you don't have source documents, if you don't have the originals, if you don't have what goes back to our first human beings in the Garden of Eden, like the Bible says, and by the way, I believe this Bible literally. I believe that you are created in the image of God, because God made Adam and Eve in his image in that garden. And that your sacredness is based on the fact that you were created. And if you're hung up on evolution, then you are going to go down the cesspool of communism, because without God, there is no innate human dignity. And governments will trample people because there's no innate human dignity to them. That is the danger of the false shepherd of communism, which has cast its shadow over our nation. That's what's happening in our country right now. We are in the balance. Will we repent, and will God remove the scepter of judgment from us, or will we continue to resist his will and embrace the inversion of everything righteous and the desecration of everything sacred? This week, we celebrate the festival of Hanukkah, which is the rededication of the temple around the year 165 or so BC. A group of Jewish revolutionaries saw that their temple had been sacked by Antiochus Epiphanes, And he made the priest sacrifice a pig on the altar to desecrate it. And he sent priests out in the country to sacrifice pigs, something that was unclean for the Jewish people. And he wanted them to desecrate their faith. And the priest there had five sons. And they rose up against the Syrians who came into their land, and they killed not only the general, but they killed the Jewish priest that was ready to make the sacrifice to the god Zeus, a false god. And these men attacked and then began those who loved their heritage from God began to battle against this picture of the Antichrist, you know, because what Antiochus Epiphanes did, he set up his image in the temple and he made the Jews worship. And later Jesus would refer to that event, the abomination of desolation, as a foreshadowing to what this world is ultimately headed for. By the way, I'm doing a series at my dad's church on Sunday nights, and it's called What the World is Coming To. And I'm talking about some of the prophetic things that I like to get into from time to time, but I invite you to come. We start at 5 p.m. Forgive me if I don't have too much time after service to talk, but I did want to sit with you and answer any questions you have about what the Lord has been showing me lately and what I have briefly announced on our Thanksgiving service about our trip to Idaho. So I want to speak to you about that, and I want you to know everything that's in my heart. Jesus says, though, I am the door. So not is he the one that leads us out and leads us in, but he's the one that we have access into the flock of God. We have to go through Jesus. He's the one. He again repeats in verse 8, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. They were false teachers, false prophets. They weren't the true Messiah, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved or she will be saved. That speaks to the individual. And will go in and out and find pasture. He speaks about being guided as a lifestyle of going in and out and being led and directed by the Lord. Believers can express through the years how God has led them to different places and different pastures. Jesus tells us in verse 10 that the thief, though, does not come except to steal and to kill. And to destroy. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I know the Lord is with me. I'm not afraid in this time. You don't have to live under fear. You don't have to live under the thousand little bites of anxiety either. But listen, this false shepherd, this enemy seeks to, what does Jesus say? He doesn't come except to steal the theft of your, what you believed were going to be your most cherished years, high school, college, you're just starting out, you were ready to launch, and then the ground got taken out from under you. What are you going to do? You feel like you've been robbed, but listen, listen. The Lord has a future for you. You got to listen to the voice of the shepherd. Because the thief wants to solidify or confirm what, even if it's only in your mind, if you feel that you've been robbed the past year and a half, 2 years, let that turn around because you've not been robbed. You've been enabled for a different blessing that God has for you altogether. The only thing changed was the image in your mind because he has green pastures for you. The thief comes to steal. Jesus leads you into green pastures, still waters. Still waters, gentleness. The Lord's leading is good, but the false shepherd steals, he takes from you. And he kills, he takes life. This is what the devil wants to do. He just wants to take life. We try to figure out, well, what is the motivation? Because there has to be a reason. No. He only wants to take life. There's not even a motivation. That's all that he wants to do. The beast, the system at the end is one of appetite. It's one of cravings. It's one of any number of things that I could follow as a human being. Oh, I lust for this, or I crave that, or I want fame, or I want wealth, or I want power, or I want celebrity, or I want convenience, or I want meaning in my role in my family, or whatever it is, whether you have lofty dreams or more moderate, sensible ideals about life, the Lord would just have you entrust them into his hands. He may take some things away that you thought you wanted, but I tell you, I can testify that he has replaced the things that I thought he's taken from me in the past with things 5 to 10 times better. Does any other Christian here this morning testify of the same things that God has withheld from them only to give them better? Amen. Anybody? Show of hands. Okay. So if you don't know it yet, watch. Wait and see. You're discouraged. You might not have hope, but listen, if you follow the shepherd, you're going to turn that corner and you're going to see, oh my goodness, what he had for me was way better than I was hoping for myself. He's a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, verse 11. We've come to the sweetest part. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A hireling, he who is not the shepherd, he who sees or who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming. You know, somebody like a hired hand. Hey, watch my sheep for me. All right. Sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep, he flees. And the wolf catches the sheep, gets them, and scatters them. And the hireling flees because he's a hireling. He doesn't care about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Here, verses 11 to 14, Jesus starts, he shifts his metaphor from that of the thief who comes in to a shepherd who is a hireling. He's just paid to do it. He's only doing it for the money. There is a kind of shepherd that just wants to do it for the money. That's really the motivation behind it. It's the money. Follow the money. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Who's making all the money? It's the same guys who were making all the money before. They're just making a lot more of it. Oh, their wealth has exploded. It's amazing that the same products they sell are the same products that we need to deal with all this coronavirus stuff. Huh. It's incredible. Wow. It's such an incredible coincidence. I can't figure this out. Does Josh Green own or partly own PPE equipment? Is he connected to a medical company that's I've heard something like that. Can somebody enlighten me? Where there's smoke, there's fire. Who knows? Will it ever be investigated? I wonder. Is there an ethics commission here in Hawaii? I've been hauled before the ethics commission a couple of times when I was a state representative back in the early 2000s. I won't go into it because it'll take too long. But you know what it was for? It was for having a Bible study at the legislature. Ooh, I'm so rebellious. I opened my Bible in the Capitol. When Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, we think immediately he's speaking of the word good in a moral sense, that he's morally pure. And while that is true, that's not the word Jesus uses here. He uses a word for good, which can just speak of the artistry of a thing, that he's really good at it. You know, when you see somebody that's just, say, a craftsman or, you know, like an ice skater, and she's just a master at her craft, and you think, you know, they're really good at that. Guy icing a cake, you know, just doing it, and you're like, wow, he's good at that. He's a good cake icer. And Jesus uses this word that is both plain, but it also speaks of the artistry or the value or the benefit of a thing, and he applies it to himself. And my initial inclination would be that he would say that he's the moral shepherd because he's good and he's pure. And like I said, while that's true, what he's saying is, I know how to love my sheep. He loves you. He knows you. He knows the little infections, the place where the flies are getting, where the eyes might have, you know, disease. He knows, like, when your hooves might be cracked. He knows how to take care of you. You got to know this. Because the more you know him, the more you can trust him. It's hard to trust someone you don't know. Guy walks up to you. He's inebriated. He got one slipper. Shirt is torn. Bruh, you get $5. I gotta buy gas. He holds up a belt. Broken. Like, you sure? Show me your car. Trust but verify. But the thing is, it's hard to trust. I don't know him. Now, if you came up to me and said, oh, bud, I need some money. Okay. I know you. The more you know the Lord, the more you can trust the Lord. It's just a principle. So he's the good shepherd. He says, I am the shepherd, the good. That's how it's phrased in Greek. I am the shepherd, the good. I'm the good one. All these other voices, you know, they don't care about the sheep. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is speaking about the Gentiles, the non-Jews, speaking to this group of Jewish men and women. He was speaking about his role to the nation. He is the shepherd of the nation. The nation was listening to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The nation was listening to dead religion or the pressure of the Roman Empire, and politics were clouding their day. Somehow in the midst of all that, Jesus offered to them a voice that they could hear in the midst of turmoil in their nation. Every one of those disciples was upset about what was going on in the government. Every single one of them, just like you might be. Every single one of them had something that happened to them that was a direct result of this foreign power and that reminder that they knew somehow or another were not right with God while these foreigners remain and this yoke is on our neck. And they wondered, how could we get right with God? Jesus gives them both answers, both to the spiritual craving and to the political craving. That if you abide by his voice, he will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. He will guide you and navigate you through the tumultuous times that you live in. These people would see the destruction of their own temple and their own capital city. You have to recognize that they went through such a radical transition and transformation, but it didn't do anything to douse their faith. It only burned brighter and brighter because you can't quench the fire of God when it comes down upon an altar like with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He's a good shepherd. He knows how to lead his people. If not a whole nation, then he knows how to lead his people within a nation. Kingdom of God doesn't have a physical passport to it. The people of God are the community of God. And where we find that a government reflects the values and the integrity that is prescribed in the Word of God for a proper, legitimate, and just government, we want to obey and will obey for the glory of God and the sake of our nation. If, however, the powers that be demand and choose to require human beings to abandon their own sacred and unique nature, They have violated their trust, and they are no longer ruling in the fear of God. They are ruling in the energy and the illegitimate power of man, human beings, mankind. Every time I say men now, I think some gender person's going to get upset that say people and not men. I'm all messed up in my brain from latent feminism. I don't know what's wrong with me. I heard somebody say that the other day. I thought, that's clever. You're smart enough to understand that I mean by our human beings, our people, right? We want to exist the way God prescribes for us. It is wholesome. It is good. We see the blessings that built this nation. I do not wish to abandon what God defines as marriage or male or female or what is right or wrong or what is murder is murder. I don't want justice to be dissolved. King David said, if the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? I want to stand for what God wants us to stand for. That is what following him is. Because he's a good shepherd that lays his life down for the sheep. That means he's willing to give it all. When David wrote that, Psalm 23, I wondered about it because when he went out to fight Goliath, he said to King Saul that even though he was a boy and Goliath was this old-time warrior, that David, when he shepherded his sheep, sometimes a wolf would get it or a lion. And he said that I've killed a wolf or a lion and a bear by striking it on the head. And I thought, man, David must have been a pretty good shepherd. Because I just kind of think maybe if a bear comes out of the woods, it's kind of taxes, right? You got to pay some taxes once in a while. You know. I would fight maybe. One time a shark got the fish on my cooey and I jabbed it. You know, I went after my fish, so I... David would put his life on the line to fight for his sheep, you know? So he knew the tenacity and the ferocity of what it took to be a shepherd. And he looked at God and said, the Lord is my shepherd. And he knew he would be protected by him. That's a confidence that God wants you to have. He's going to look after you. He's going to navigate you through these times. But he's also going to provide for you what you need for your spirit and for your growth and for your prosperity because he knows how to lead you into green pastures. And I pray that it's here at the ranch, and I pray that you find comfort and strength by the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Strengthen us now as we go. May we let our time of communion just blend into our time of potluck. And Lord, if I may now dismiss your people to begin fellowshipping and to go for the food as they finish partaking of the Lord's Supper. Lord, would you just let our time of fellowship and communion, our time of eating and sitting and talking be sweet? As your sheep, Lord, as we just sit down and rest here in this green meadow, this pasture that you've provided for us. Thank you, Lord, for the haven that you've made for us. Thank you for the refuge of this ranch. Thank you, Lord, for the therapy, Lord, that comes to our souls when we gather together and join and embrace one another as we are able to, in this place, live out the joys of being the kingdom of God. Your word tells us to greet one another with a holy hug and to give the right hand of fellowship and to give a holy kiss. And Lord, to see one another and to embrace one another is such sweet therapy to our souls. As we remember seeing in every person's face the glory of God, that you have created us in your image, and Lord, you desire what is good for us. And we thank you that this morning you reminded us that you're the good shepherd. We look to you, Lord. Guide us, we pray. Lead us, Lord. And as we receive communion, we pray that you would refresh us by washing us once again. Earlier, Lord, when we sang it, felt like a breath of fresh air just being blown into our sanctuary. It was so sweet, Lord, even a little bit of rain. so cool and refreshing. And Lord, we pray again, Lord, that you would just sweep over us by your Holy Spirit, that you would encourage and strengthen us. Even as we fellowship together, Lord, let the dynamic of your Spirit prompt us to pray and prophesy over one another. Thank you, Lord, that you're the good shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your life and you've caused us to now be born again to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.